Well, hey, listen, how many of you have been blessed by the Heaven series? Heaven series. How many, which way are you going when you die? Come on, you're headed north, right? North. Yeah, you could say up, but really you're headed north. Well, listen, in light of that, because I'm kind of an ADHD before it was ever diagnosed, probably, how many of you lived back then when they didn't? Yeah. Anyway, I probably don't have that, but here's the truth. The reality is after about 4 or 5 weeks, I feel like I've exhausted that subject for now. I'm not saying in the future we won't come back and revisit that, but for now, I feel the need in my heart to move on to greener pastures. So today, we're going to start a new series, and it's absolutely going to be called Roots, which if you were here last night, I spelled it R-O-T-T-S. So today, I have it spelled R-O-T-S. I got a little distracted last night, and because of that, I misspelled it. But so this time I made a slide for it. I really can't spell that word. But anyway, here's the truth. I want to talk to you about roots. I want to talk to you about roots because I believe if there is anything that you should know about the Bible, you should be rooted and grounded in certain things in the Word of God. Not everything. A lot of things in the Bible are negotiables, okay? There are some things that are absolutely negotiable. We could argue about when Jesus is going to return. We could argue about, you know, this and that and the other in the Bible. But here, there are some root, foundational principles that you and I should be rooted in. And I know I don't know about you guys, but at my house, it seems like I mow a lot during the summer. Anybody? Any other people feel like, oh my goodness, well, all I do is mow. Listen, we mow a lot. And part of the land that we had a bunch of woods in front of our house. We still have a bunch of woods, but the woods right directly in front of our house, I cleared out over the last several years. And as I cleared those out, I'm just amazed that every year that these stupid trees grow back. It's crazy. I mow them over. I kill them. I try everything I can. And I just seem, I've actually literally just cut trees off at the stump and the next year they grow up. Anybody else seen that? It's the craziest thing. Why do trees grow up even after you've cut them at the stump? Because they have roots. See, it is possible for you as a believer to have a bad experience and yet still be growing. Because each and every one of us in our life should have deep roots. And no matter what happens on the top side, we should be anchored on the bottom side. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We should be absolutely anchored when it comes to the things of God. Here's a Bible verse that kind of ties into it. And check this out. This is Colossians 2:6. It says this, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. How many of y'all received that? Okay, about half, not even half. Let's do an altar call now, all right? Listen, how many of you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? All right, praise God, that's better. And listen to this, so walk in Him. Yeah, look at the next verse. It says, rooted and what? Built up in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Rooted and grounded in Him. That is so powerful. So you should never be rooted and grounded in a person or an idea. You should be rooted and grounded in Him. Even I, as your pastor, don't root yourself in me. I'm a man flawed, just like you. Come on, anybody else with me? We're all flawed in here, so don't root yourself. I've met people who were serving God and had their faith, and they were rooted in someone, and that someone fell from God or fell away from the Lord, didn't go to church, whatever the case is, and guess what? They abandoned their faith. And they abandoned their faith not because their faith wasn't real, but because they were rooted in the wrong things. Listen, you got to make sure that you are rooted and grounded in Him. In Him. That's what the Bible says. So don't root yourself in somebody. Root yourself in Him. If you're rooted in Him, let me just assure you of this. He's not going anywhere. He is not going anywhere, and your faith won't go anywhere whenever it's rooted and grounded in him, praise God. All right, so listen to this. It goes on to say, I'll just read the next verse. Beware lest anyone cheat you from the philosophies and empty deceit according to the traditions of who? Of men, yeah. According to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. Absolutely. We want to root ourselves in him so that no one cheats us from living this life that God has called us to live. How are we going to do it? We're going to have strong roots. And this whole teaching this morning is simply about how to grow strong roots. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at some things like love. How many of you know you should be rooted and grounded in love? Isn't that true? Rooted and grounded in love. You should be rooted in faith. Faith. You should be rooted in grace. Grace. Some of you, this teaching will absolutely challenge you because you've never heard the grace of God, but the grace of God is awesome. How many of you know we should absolutely be grounded in the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives? Right? That we're not serving a religion, we're serving Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. And a lot of folks don't even know there is a Holy Spirit or know very little about him. But I'm here to tell you, he is the one that wants to lead you, guide you, speak to you, and allow you to live an effective Christian life. All right, so listen to this. This is something pretty interesting when it comes to roots and trees. It says this, most tree roots occupy an area 2 to 4 times the diameter of the crown. 2 to 4 times. In other words, the crown of the tree, the biggest part of the tree that you see top on the top of the ground, is actually multiplied whenever it goes into the bottom. Get this, roots may occupy the area 4 to 7 times. These are two different studies from the Colorado State University Extension. I could have saved them a whole lot of money if they'd have hung out with me for a summer. You know, 4 to 7 times the surface area occupied the crown of the tree. I'm telling you, the roots are much bigger than what you see on the top side. Actually, the roots are what sustains it. The roots are what allows it to become as big as it is. You can take a tree that has the potential to grow exponentially. I'm talking huge. But if you put it, get this, true. If you take a little tree, and it could be a mighty oak tree, and you put it in a little bitty bowl, guess what? The fact that the roots can't grow any deeper, it stunts the growth of the tree. The tree can only grow to the length and to the depth of the roots. Come on, I'm talking about your spiritual life now. If you're in a little bitty pot, and you can only grow to that extent, but as soon as you're transplanted into the ground with good soil, where you can grow deep, can I tell you, your roots will grow. And as your roots grow, guess what happens on the top side? You get bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger. And listen to this. I believe that is exactly what God wants you to know. God wants you to know this morning that if your top side is small, if your faith is small, if your believing is small, if your relationship with God is small, it's because you have no roots. It's because your roots need to go deeper. And that's why it matters where you plant yourself. It matters where you plant yourself, because sometimes you're planted in the wrong place that will limit your growth potential and you'll never maximize your roots. Well, I'm here to tell you, we want to maximize your roots. We want your roots to grow deep, man. Grow deep, 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 and wide, deep, and wide. Okay, I'm done. But we want you to grow deep into the things of God so that you are anchored. You are anchored, and there's nothing that is going to move you. You are an immovable object for the things of God. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? One of the things that cracked me up when I was in Florida, stationed in Florida, I was down there when a hurricane came through. Well, when that hurricane came through, I was absolutely amazed by what happened. I'd been in Indiana, and I had seen what happens in Indiana. In Indiana, big trees don't fall over typically. How many of y'all know what I'm saying? I'm talking big trees that are healthy, they don't fall over. They're big trees, and they're anchored into the ground. Well, down in Florida, when we were down there, a hurricane came through, and as it came through, I noticed that the big trees fell over. And that the little bitty trees stood upright. And that blew me away because in my mind, I'm thinking it should be the opposite. So I asked someone who knew a little bit more than I did, which was easy. about that subject, and I said, hey, listen, check this out. I noticed like on base and everywhere I went, man, the big trees fell over. Why is that? He said, well, it's a couple reasons. He said, number one, the soil in Florida is sandy, so the roots aren't rooted to anything that's stable and strong. Second of all, when it rains, that sand just turns into muck and the roots are not anchored to anything. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, but here's the second one and probably the most dangerous. He goes, what happens down here when a storm comes through is that because the water table's so high, the roots of the tree don't have to go very deep. So the roots stay up on the surface. So when the surface roots are blown by the wind, there's nothing that they're anchored to, and they fall over. I was like, wow. And immediately in my mind, years ago, I saw that as being true with Christians. That sometimes people, they can look like they're growing. They can look like they're doing things right. They can look like they're going to church and doing the religious thing. But that doesn't mean your roots are growing. You're supposed to root yourself. You're supposed to grow yourself. You're supposed to grow in the things of God so that when the winds and the waves come, which they will. How many have ever been through something in life? Absolutely. When the winds and the waves come, you are anchored to something that's bigger than yourself that makes you immovable. They did a study out west, out in the western part of the country. This is back in the 1980s. You can look it up online. But here's what they did. They created a biodome. Anybody know what a biodome? And not the movie with Pauly Shore. Right. Anybody remember that movie? Anybody remember Pauly Shore? Yeah? Anybody know where he's at now? Who knows? He's rich. But anyway, well, probably broke now. But anyway, check this out. They created this biodome. And in this biodome, here's what they did. It went on for about 3 to 4 years. And they put people in it, obviously rotated them through, created a perfect environment for people to live in. They planted trees. They did everything. So it would sustain itself, basically, was what the whole study was. Will this thing be able to sustain itself? Here's what they found. As the trees went taller, they started falling over. They started falling over, and they couldn't figure it out. Well, finally, they figured it out, and here's what they figured out. That a tree, for its roots to go deep, it must have wind. You need wind on the tree so that the tree recognizes, I must anchor myself. Pretty powerful, because here's the truth. There are winds that will hit your life. There are times when the breezes will blow. And a lot of times we get our focus on the wind thinking the wind is going to destroy us and kill us. God, you sent this to kill me. No, no, no. God sent this and allowed this so that you would anchor yourself. He sent it so that you would drive yourself into his word, into the things of God, so that you can hold on to him greater at greater and greater and greater depths than what you did without the wind. You need some portion of wind blowing against you so that you will root yourself in the things of God. Oh, I know it doesn't feel good, but it is true that sometimes we need those adversities to allow us to pray more, to allow us to seek God more, to allow us to say, God, stir me up more. Come on, anybody know what I'm saying? We need those things. So don't fight the winds. Allow the winds to drive you deeper, because the winds will come. They will come, and allow them to come. Say, Lord, use this as the great thing to drive me deeper into your word. Amen? Amen. Here it goes. So listen to this. This is what Ephesians says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. That's called the fivefold ministry. Those are the people that lead the church. He says this, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Notice that. Fivefold ministry has been given to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Now, first of all, let me just tell you, am I a saint? Yes. Are you a saint? Yes. Yeah, I know. Some of you are like, oh, well, I'm Catholic. Okay, listen, we haven't done three miracles and dead yet, all right? But listen, under the Christian belief, we believe that as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're either a saint or a sinner. And if you ain't a sinner, because you're not, because you accepted Christ, then you're a... See, so you should be saint fans. Okay, anyway, all right, anyway. All right, listen to this. So equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So are you a saint? Do you have a ministry? Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now get this, next verse. Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. To a perfect or mature, that's what the word perfect means in the New Testament. Mature man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of what? Christ. Now look at this next verse. Very important. That we should no longer be children. Okay? We should be mature. How do we know? We should not be tossed to and fro and carried by every wind of doctrine. Absolutely. That's how you can tell someone's not anchored. They're willing to believe whatever. And I've met people who will change their belief system on a whim. I could talk them out of heaven. I could talk them out of hell. How many of you know that's not faith? I could talk to people and I could convince them that Jesus left them forever. They just have no root. They just go anywhere you want them to go. Hey, let me tell you, you should not be that way. You should be rooted and grounded in things. Now, let me just say this. Everybody look at me. There are some negotiables in the Bible. And what I mean by negotiables, there are some things that I have my opinion, you can have your opinion. For example, whenever Jesus returns, I believe in a pre-trib rapture because I like that one. Anybody else with me? Am I the only one that wants to escape tribulation and hellfire? I believe that one pans out best in the Bible, though. Honestly, I believe there's more scriptural evidence for that one. Some people will disagree with me, and that's fine. You can disagree. It's okay. It's okay. It's all right. Okay, but how many of you know there are other things that are not negotiable? Jesus came to the earth. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again. He was born of a virgin. Non-negotiable. How about this? He is God. That's non-negotiable, right? And there are a lot of other things. But my point is, whenever it comes to the non-negotiables, we should anchor ourselves to them and be immovable. There's a thing called sin. That's immovable. We're not moving off of that. There's a thing called right and there's a thing called wrong. And the Bible clearly defines which is what. Well, how many of you know we're not moving off of that? Right? Non-negotiable. We're not carried like our culture and like society and like politicians or like anybody else to and fro by every wind of whatever. No, we anchor ourselves to the word and we hold on to it, praise God. And we're not letting go. All right? It says, carried away by every doctrine or by the trickery of men, or in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, which is Christ. Here's the point. When we anchor ourselves to him, and we're not tossed to and fro, and over here and over there, we're allowed to anchor ourselves, and that's what allows us to grow. If you don't have deep roots, you can't grow. But if you have deep roots, you can grow. Like, for example, a tree. You know, a tree's roots, to the depth of the tree's roots is to the heights of the tree. The deeper the roots, the higher the tree can go. The deeper your roots are in the things of God, the higher you can grow spiritually in the things of God. Amen? Believe that, man. I believe that. So what does God want you to do? He wants you to have deep roots, no doubt about it. Now I'm going to show you one of the things that you need to look at when it comes to the roots. Everybody say there's the root, there's the soil, and there's the food, the nutrition, food. So you got food, right? Food, soil, and root, right? Now Jesus taught a parable. It's in Mark. I'm going to go there. But before we go there, it's called the seed and the sower. It's a very important parable when it comes to the Bible. Because Jesus said, if you can understand this parable, all the other parables make sense. All the other parables make sense. Without this one, none of them make sense. So I want to make sure that you and I understand this parable, especially when it comes to roots. So check this out. This is Mark chapter 4, verse 3. It says, listen to this. Now, to the best of my ability, I'm just going to read the first portion. But I probably won't be able to shut up. But to the best of my ability, I just want to read this. There's about four verses where Jesus is just talking the parable. Then he comes back a few verses later and explains the entire parable. I want to spend most of our time in the explanation, not in just what he said. Okay, so here we go. This is Mark 4, verse 3. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. Here's what he did. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Look at this. Some fell by the stony ground and where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, and because it had no depth of earth, Let me read that again. Some fell on the stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. In other words, it didn't grow any roots, all right? But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it what? Withered away. Absolutely. Look at this. And some of the seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and it choked it, and it yielded no crop. Look at this. But other seed fell on the good ground, and it yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Then he goes on. Jesus is speaking to him. He tells him a couple more things, and then he goes, now, here's the explanation of the parable that I just told you. Now, we'll take our time and really kind of go through it and lay it out. He says this, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? He said, listen, if you're going to understand one parable out of everything I'm teaching, understand the seed and the sower, because the seed and the sower is critical for you growing in your spiritual life. Y'all get that? All right, here we go. So here it is, verse 2. The sower sows the word. Everybody say, the seed is the word. That's the bottom line. The seed is the word. The word is the seed. All right? You've got to know, I've got to know that the seed that we're talking about is the Word of God. Now, it's pretty amazing, too, because here's the truth. As a pastor, I see this a lot. Out of all the people that come to our church, there are a lot of people that come to our church just out of religious activity or whatever. Now, y'all, they're not at this service. But there are people that come just for the religious activity. And I'm not against that. Well, here's what I am saying. I'm saying that I preach the same message to the best of my ability in all four of our services. And then it's amazing to me how some people grab a hold of it, it takes root in them, and they grow spiritually. And then you have other people, I don't hear this very often, but I know there are other people that come and they just like, well, it was okay. I didn't get much out of it, but it was all right. And then you can take a little kid from the kids ministry, 6, 7, 8 years old, sit them in the service, and they're like, I love sitting in there with Pastor Charlie. I understood that. Get this, the seed is the same. The seed is the same. What's the difference? The difference is the soil that it's going into. See, when you and I all come here, when we come to church, when we're listening to the Bible, when we listen to other teachers or whatever, listen, the one thing we have to understand is the seed is the same. The seed is the same. And we've got to know that if I will allow the seed will produce something in my life. But I've got to allow the seed. Let me go on. He says this. The seed is the word. Watch this. Next verse. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. It is sown. But when they hear, Satan comes immediately. And what does he do? Takes away the what? The word. He takes the word that was sown in their where? Hearts. So where is the soil? The soil is your heart. Y'all get that? And look, whenever the seed is sown, look at the first one. First one, the seed is sown, but the enemy comes to steal it. Every time you hear the word of God, the enemy desires to steal it. He wants to steal that word out from you because it will produce fruit in your life. But if he steals it, it'll never produce anything. This is why people have enough faith. A lot of times they'll come in and they'll be encouraged and blessed, and they'll be like, man, I'm praying and believing, and Pastor Charlie preached on healing and I'm healed, praise God, and I'm believing God and it's good and God's good and Jesus is good and he's my healer and all this, and your faith doesn't leave the parking lot. You get to the parking lot and you're like, well, you know, maybe it wasn't for me. I don't know. Maybe God doesn't want to heal me. I know he wants to heal other people, but maybe God doesn't want to heal me. That's in the parking lot. At lunch, you meet up with somebody who doesn't believe God is good and God is a healer and God is a deliverer. And they're like, yeah, I don't think that's God either. And by noon tomorrow, you're like, yeah, I tried the faith thing. No, the enemy came and so stole the seed from your heart. You gave it up. You didn't protect the seed. You gave it up. I know this happened to me when I first got saved. I first gave my heart to Christ. And I was like, okay, that didn't do it. I should do it again. Right? I remember getting saved at Fairview Baptist Church. Gave my heart to Christ. The piano player's husband led me to the Lord. I can't think of his name. Oh, and I know his name. Wes. Yeah, I think that's right. No. Webster. Mr. Webster. Yes, thank you. She used to go to over there. Mr. Webster led me to the Lord. And I remember that. I mean, it was a transformation on the inside of me. But some time would go by, and I actually gave my heart to Christ again. And again, I'm not here to argue whether this is biblical or not. I just didn't believe I got saved, even though I did know I got saved, even got baptized. But I had to get saved all over again. I don't know if that's possible. I'm just saying. How did that end up? How did that work? It worked because the enemy stole the seed from my heart. And so I battled for a while whether I'm saved or not. It happened the same way when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here I am. I believe in speaking in tongues. I'm speaking in tongues, audibly praying in tongues. The church that I went to believed in it, taught it, believed it was something that you should have and do. I believed in it, got it, praying in tongues, right? Until this guy comes to my house who's fixing my recliner. True story. Fixing my recliner. My recliner was still under warranty. The guy came, the elbow thing was breaking down. He came over there. He's fixing my recliner. He goes, where do you go to church? I told him where I was going to church. He goes, oh, you go there. I'm like, and again, I'm a new believer, all right? I'm growing in my faith. I'm like, why? I should have shut up. But I said, why? He said, oh, that's that church. I'm like, what's that church? What's that mean? He goes, oh, you guys believe in that tongue stuff. I'm like, yeah. He's like, oh, that's not Bible. I'm like, it's not? For the next 45 minutes, homeboy ripped me up one side and down the other. Oh, no, that's not the bad part. The bad part is Michelle comes home from work. And I'm like, Michelle, listen. We are going to a demonic church. Something is wrong. It's bad. They believe crazy stuff. The guy that was here fixing the recliner said so. It's not good. Not good at all. This, you remember that whole toss to and fro by every wind? Yeah, someone, he blew on my tree. And I fell over, all right? I told Michelle, I said, we should not go back there. It's not good. I mean, that place can't be good. That guy who was fixing the recliner, you know what Michelle looked at me and said? She said, would you just stop? I'm like, what? She goes, just stop. So she walked off. She was annoyed. And I'm like, no, that guy was for real. She goes, just stop. So I'm like, you know what? Forget this, forget her, and forget him. I'm being honest. I said, forget all that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the Bible, and I'm going to find out for myself what it says. So guess what I did? I spent the next week studying every verse that had to do with that subject. Every verse. By the end of it, I was like, bring that guy back to my recliner, praise God. I got some questions for him, man. Light him up, man. I never met that guy ever again in my life, but the truth of the matter is I thank God for it. I thank God for it because it was a wind, and it came in, and it was trying to steal the seed that was in my heart. But instead, what it was an opportunity for me to grow deeper. It was an opportunity for me to anchor myself in the things of God. And so now, therefore, I promise you, I've heard every argument. I've probably believed most of them. But now I am absolutely anchored in those things because a wind came and it allowed me to anchor myself. See, here's the truth. Anytime a wind blows into your life, you can either do one or two things. You can give up and allow the enemy to steal the seed, or you can anchor yourself into the Word of God. Watch this. Not elevating what they think or believe, because they may be right. You may be wrong. But go and anchor yourself into the Word of God and allow it to bring you nourishment and allow you to be fed spiritually. Not a person. Come on, amen. If there is ever a time where I preach something contrary to the Word of God, discard it. Go and anchor yourself to the Word. Don't anchor yourself to me, because I can miss it. I remember preaching whenever I first got saved, first started preaching the Bible. I remember teaching that the Bible says, I was like, yeah, when you get to heaven, you won't need the Holy Spirit because you'll be in heaven. And then one day I was reading the verse where it says that the Holy Spirit's with you forever. There's a problem. My point is, I can miss it too. Anchor yourself to the Word. Amen? That's where you're safe. That's where you're safe. Don't allow Satan to steal the Word of God in your heart in the parking lot. If you can believe it here right now, man, believe it tomorrow. Say it tomorrow. Believe it tomorrow. Believe it Wednesday. Believe it Thursday. God is good. God loves me. God saved me. God is for me. Who can be against me? What can separate us, like James was singing, right? Nothing can separate us from God. Do you say that today? Or is it tomorrow you're like, well, you know, God just hates me. I'm a worm. Come on, y'all. You can't be tossed like that. You have to anchor yourself to what God says about you. Amen? Listen to what he says in the next verse. He says, these likewise are the ones who are sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with gladness. Uh-huh. And they have no root in themselves, though. They've got no roots. And so they endure only for a time. But listen, here's the important part. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises because the what? Because the word's sake. Persecution arises because the word's sake. I've met people like, well, you know, Pastor Charlie, you know, people just persecute me because I'm a Christian. No, you're a jerk. You're a jerk, and you're going to heaven. I'm not arguing that, but you're a jerk. Has nothing to do with you believing the Bible. Praise God. I've met people like that, and I've had to have a serious conversation with them. You know, it's like, no, if you were friendly and nice and warm to people, they would like you. It has nothing to do with the fact that you're a Christian. Can I get a witness? Now, let me go a step further. There are times where, as believers, we do our part to love people, do our part to preach the gospel, do our part to live out the gospel and all those things, and then people don't like us. They don't like us not because of who we are or how we respond. They don't like us because of our value system and what we stand for. And we're living increasingly in a world like that. But my point is this, we still shouldn't be jerks. I figured there'd be like more than 12 say amen to that, right? We shouldn't be jerks, right? We're still trying to win the world without being jerks, right? Okay, now, but here's my point. Sometimes you can do all you can do to love people and be honest in love and walk in love, and then still they won't like you because of what you stand for. I have met people. Literally, I have met people that don't like Pastor Charlie until they find out who I am. Because sometimes when you're on radio, they don't connect it. Yeah, I've met other people who love me, and then they don't ever realize who I am. They're like, where you go to church? I tell them, Abundant Life. Oh, yeah, Pastor Charlie, he's awesome. Zach, am I lying? Zach's been with me where it's happened. It's hilarious. I'm like, yeah, you should come there. It's awesome. He's like, yeah, man, I love Pastor Charlie. I'm like, oh, yeah, good. I walk off. Zach, am I telling the truth? It's so funny. It's hilarious, hilarious. But listen to this. Listen to this. There are some people, it's because you take a stand. It's because you have morals. It's because you're anchored in the word that they do not like you. They don't like you. Now, listen to this. The Bible says those who have no roots, because they are persecuted because the word's sake, they give up the word. They give up the very thing that they need to sustain energy in life. Listen, you should never give up the word just because someone may or may not like you. That's rooting yourself in people instead of the things of God. Amen? Amen. Whether they sing your praise, listen, as a pastor, I'll be honest with you. Does it feel good to get a compliment about how you preached or ministering to somebody? Of course it does. But let me just tell you this. I settled this a long time ago in my heart. Whether people praise me or dislike me makes no difference to me. Because if I'm going to build myself on the praises of men, then I got to say what they think I need to say. And if I'm going to build myself on the dislikes of men, then I'm going to change what I feel and believe based upon people. I've settled, I'm just not going to live that way. I'm going to be Charlie. I'm going to say what the word says. I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. Those that love me, get on board. Those that don't, well, love y'all. And I got a Whitney Houston song about it. Yeah. Yeah. From a distance, there is harmony. Yeah. Seriously. Seriously. You can't build your faith on what people think. That's what I'm trying to say in a nutshell. Don't build your faith on that, man. Build your faith. Anchor yourself to the word of God. Amen. Amen, amen. Here's the last one. And now these are the ones who are sown among the thorns, for they are the ones who hear the word. Now watch this. But the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires of things entering in choke the word. In other words, their lives are so cluttered with the love of other things that it chokes the seed, watch this, from them being obedient. See, get this. They've got so many other things cluttering their life that the seed has nowhere to really grow because their heart is full of everything else. You need to allow your heart to be full of God. And if you find other things cluttering it, you need to declutter it. And I'm not going to deny this. I know with me, there are seasons where I've cluttered. You know, you have a father-in-law in the hospital and 4-H projects due and 2 crazy kids. I was praying, but not like faith. Seriously. Seriously. You feel cluttered. But know that those things are for a season. Okay, I got to get through this over the next week and a half, and then we'll be back to smooth, and I'll get my groove on. That's different than living a life like that. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? Where your life is so cluttered and there's no room for the word of God to grow in your heart. That's different. That's when you need to declutter your life. That means sometimes you got to stop doing some of the things you're doing to allow God to grow in your heart. Amen. Here's the last one. But these are the ones who, when it's sown on the ground, those who hear the word accept it. What did they do? Accept it. Get this. One of the reasons I'm always say, like, say amen. Amen. Let me kind of set myself up for that. All right. Don't say it. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that sometimes I will tell y'all to say amen. And really what I'm trying to get you to do is you're hearing the seed. You're hearing the seed. But what I want you to do is accept the seed. How many of you know what amen means? It means so be it. In other words, if I'm going to make up some stuff here. If I'm preaching about healing and you desire healing in your life, you should say, so be it. Yeah, bring it. Bring it to my house. Yeah. If I'm preaching on prosperity and you're broke, you should not be going, well, I just don't think God does that no more. That's not accepting the seed. How do you accept it? You say, amen, that's right. Slap your mama. Yeah, that's me. That's who he's talking to me. That's what you're doing. You're accepting the seed. That's why I push on you sometimes to say, come on, say amen to that. Now you can say amen. Amen. That's why I believe in audience, you know, talking back. It has nothing to do with me needing to hear you say amen. I promise you, it doesn't. I preached on TV where there is no amen, all right? None of that means anything. What means something is that in my heart, I want to make sure you're not just hearing about the seed, but you're receiving the seed on the inside of you. So when you audibly say amen, or that's right, or oh man, that's me, or you can mutter it under your mouth, oh yeah, that's it. Or if, I mean, even if it's not for you, it's like, yeah, that's you. I mean, you're receiving the seed. See, because you can't grow roots until you've received the seed. Come on, am I right? Yeah, y'all are awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. Amen. So there it is. So some produce 30, 60, and some 100-fold. Now let me just break that down for you and I'll be done. Look at this. The Bible talks about four different types of surfaces and seeds. It says this, there is a stolen seed. You remember that? Satan comes and steals the seed. Guess what? There's no fruit in your life. You could have sat under the greatest message on the planet, greatest preacher on the planet, whoever your greatest preacher is, Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, Charlie Riley, whatever. No fruit comes if the seed is stolen. No fruit. Take, for example, the hard soil. Hard soil. When you come in, you got a hard heart. And some of you play it off better than others, I'm sure. You know, it's like, you know. That's a hard heart. And there's no way for the seed. That's like sowing seed on concrete. Right? What do you think after 2,000 years of church history, we praise and worship first? Does anybody have any idea? It prepares the heart. Where did we get that? We get that from the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, Judah, the tribe of Judah, which was the praise and worshipers, went first everywhere. That means everywhere they went, they praised God first. Why? The Bible tells us that Judah plows up the hard ground. Really, what happens is when we come in and we worship, we're breaking up the hard ground in our heart. So if you come in and you don't worship, you don't sing, and you just, you could be as hard as you came in, you can go out the same hard way. But when you come in and you're like, okay, listen, I know he's jacked up and the kids are crazy, but you know what? This is about me and my heart. Father, I love you. Help me break this off of me. And you start singing and you start worshiping and start breaking up your heart. Next thing you know, man, you're like, ah, oh, man, that feels good. You know, the Lord's just breaking that stuff up in me. And then the word comes and we start preaching the word, and then you're just receiving it. And what happens is you're just receiving it into your heart. This is why I believe some of your hardest times in your spiritual walk is before you get to church. You ain't got to amen to that. I know, I've been there. The hardest things is getting to church. Say why? Because the enemy wants you to come in with a hard heart and leave with a hard heart. Because if you come in with a hard heart, you'll never have any seed in your heart. But when you come in and we break off the hardness and you allow the seed to go in you, it'll produce a harvest in your heart. Listen to this. It goes on to say, the hard soil, no roots, no fruit. Cluttered soil, good roots. But you're cluttered. You need to declutter. Then guess what? There's no fruit. And then the last one is you have good soil and you have good roots and produces what? Good fruit in your life. If you want good fruit in your life, then you got to have good soil, soft tillable soil. And you guess what? You got to have good roots. You got to have good, healthy roots. When we root ourselves in the things of God, I promise you it'll produce great fruit in our life. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Praise God. I'm done.